This is the third sermon in a series, each one exploring one of the six sources that our living tradition draws on. Our first source is the direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder which moves us to a renewal of the spirit and an openness to the forces which create and uphold life. Our second source is the words and deeds of prophetic people, which challenge us to confront powers and structures of evil with justice, compassion, and the transforming power of love. The third source that we are exploring today is the wisdom from the world's religions, which inspires us in our ethical and in our spiritual life. I'm particularly drawn to this source because by naming it, we are also calling to notice the predominant myth of religion in the United States. This happens on at least two levels. First, there's the story we tell each other when we say we are not Christian, but that ignores or denies the Christian biases and assumptions that are pervasive in our habits, our laws, and our assumptions and attitudes. We have assimilated Christian values and practices that are so normal to us now that we may not notice them. The pattern of our week, having few meetings or activities scheduled on Sunday mornings, and the timing of school holidays. These are unfamiliar habits in the majority of the non-Christian world. The other story we tell is that we are Christian, that this is a Christian country, and that this is the original and true religion of the land. Ignoring the fact that there were people living on this land before it was colonized, and that those here had their own spiritual practices, ours has not been the only religion. The first Muslim in this country was Estevancio of Azamor, who came to Florida in 1528. And fully one-third of the African slaves in this country were Muslim. The earliest mosque here was built around 1915. The first Hindus were likely those who marched in the 4th of July parade in Salem, Massachusetts in 1851. And the first Hindu temple was built over 100 years ago in 1906. Buddhists came during the gold rush of the mid-1800s as miners, construction workers, farmers, and fishermen. By 1860, 10% of California were Chinese, and Montana reached that same percentage in 1970. They built shrines and temples all along the West Coast and in the Rockies. Jews first arrived in 1654, and the first things they did were to establish a congregation and a Jewish burial ground. The first synagogue was built in 1664. There's a normative story we tell about Christianity, but while Protestants and Catholics comprise between 65 and 75% of the country, between 25 and 35% are not Christian. That means at least one in every four people here is not of a Christian culture and may not be familiar with the values, norms, and behaviors. Some people embrace this multicultural, multi-religious diversity, and others may find that disconcerting. In the book of Genesis, there's a story told of the Tower of Babel. According to the storyteller, everyone in the world spoke the same language at that time, early in human history. They all used the same words, which made it easy for them to agree to build a city so grand that the top of its tower reached the heavens. When God discovered what they were up to, God was not pleased. According to the book of Genesis, and I quote, "The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which mortals had built. And the Lord said, 'Look, they are one people and they have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them.' Come, let us go down and confuse their language there so that they will not understand one another's speech. That's the end of the reading. After that, the people couldn't understand each other. When they tried to talk, it sounded like babble. This story is understood to be about punishment from God toward humanity who came too close to being as powerful as God. From that time forward, the story of humanity became the story of divided nations and tribes, and they couldn't understand one another. It is implied that the diversity was punishment. Professor Emmanuel Larty, professor at Emory University, suggests a counter-narrative to the understanding of this story. He suggests that this story was not about God's judgment on diversity, but rather God's judgment on the dominance of one people with one language, with a way of life of one people that was imposed on all. This interfered with the divine diversity of creation and allowed for a dominant group to emerge that would dominate all others. The interference of God was far from being a punishment. By creating multiple languages, it established diversity. Larty says, now each must have their own voice. Each must speak for themselves. God pluralizes their culture and their way of life. In other words, this diversity of language, of people, and religion is a good thing. Something so valuable that it required divine protection. God created the conditions for multiple interpretations of everything that required speech to describe. There was no longer one right way to say a true thing. There were many ways to say it. Torah, Veda, Dharma, Gospel, Quran. This third source of our UU tradition recognizes that there is much to be learned from both the practices and the ethical teachings of world religions. The centuries of spiritual practices, communal traditions, and the rituals of world religions connect us with what is sacred. We can find inspiration from the meditations, contemplative, and devotional practices that have been developed around the world. There's much we can learn about how to approach the holy in the world, and these practices can deepen our Unitarian Universalism. Many of us attend other congregations to sit in Buddhist meditation, to read the Torah, or to attend a pagan ritual. Some of us declare dual or multiple religious identities, and some of us who have well-established connections with Christian, Jewish, pagan, Wicca, Buddhist communities, it goes on. Many of us still come here because we offer a spiritual home for families. Barbara Brown Taylor writes about this openness to devotion that can be found in world's religions. She says, wisdom is not gained by knowing what is right. Wisdom is gained by practicing what is right and noticing what happens when that practice succeeds or when it fails. She goes on to talk about a devotional practice and then writes, I can set a little altar in the world or in my heart. I can stop what I am doing long enough to see where I am, who I am there with, and how awesome that place is. I can see it for once instead of walking right past it, maybe even setting a stone or saying a blessing before I move on. What ritual? We find rituals and practices deepen our lives. We also find so much truth and enlightenment from the teachings, the sacred texts and writings from world religions. We can be moved by a single line of text, such as, my religion is very simple. My religion is kindness, from Buddhist writings. Or, to clasp the hands in prayer is the beginning of an uprising against the disorder of the world in Catholic writings. We recognize what is common among the many teachings throughout history, and we draw on all these for our worship together. All the religions may not proclaim a common message, but they do share some universal insights. These can be found in ethical teachings along with exhortations toward justice. We learn how to treat one another as we learn and understand the teachings from our many faiths. Practices and teachings. Practices and teachings. Practices and teachings, all from other faiths. This sounds familiar to me. It's much like the saying on my office wall, nurture your spirit, help heal the world. We honor both the general truths that the world faiths offer to us, and we honor the specific gifts revealed in each religious culture. What we find in common is both the personal yearning for a deeper life, along with the communal desire to ease the suffering of the world. And we are inspired or intrigued by how we each approach this. One final imagining. Imagine, if you can, that the sun represents what is sacred, what is meaningful. God, some might call that. Our religions are all planets, spread out in rings that revolve around that sun. We see the same glow. We feel the same warmth. We have a common center. But our description of that center will change depending on what angle our rotation is as it changes the light reflections. Our description will differ if we are close to the sun, hot and burning up, or if we are in the far distant reaches of the solar system, cold. Our description will change if we have moons or satellites that pull our orbit off center at times, making us wobble in space. We're all focused on the same sun, but we view it differently. Our solar system includes us all, and we all contribute to the function of the whole. Blessed be. Thank you.